It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And the Philistine came and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, and he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, thou comest with me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword nor spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Yes. David didn't face Goliath. He didn't face his personal giant and talk about how dangerous his giant was, but he talked about how great God is. Yes. We have that opportunity to not only talk about how great God is, we get to magnify and glorify on how great God is with an expression of our worship, an expression of our praise. Hallelujah. It was on a Friday morning. I was on my way to work at 5:30, and I was on I-88, and I just passed 355, and the rain came down so hard, and I began to hydroplane, and my car spun out, and I slammed into the wall. Oh, wow. And it bothered me all day Friday, and then yesterday I was thinking about what am I going to have to deal with the insurance company. But I thank God that I didn't bounce back into traffic, and I didn't get hit head on. And I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm just going to just thank God and lift him up and praise him, because if we could just put everything aside for the next few minutes and just give God praise. Lord, everything is so minute compared to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We're going to lift you up above everything, above every circumstance, above, Lord, whatever we have faced or whatever we may be facing, God. Lord, there is nothing greater than you. There is nothing higher than you, Lord. We're going to lift you up. The name that is above all names, hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Can we give him a shout of praise? For he is worthy in this place. Hallelujah.
Is real and death is alive. I get, the more and more I'm realizing how much I need his word in my life. As I'm sure you are aware, it's been for everyone here for the last 2 months. It's been a very, it's so much change. There's so many things going on. And I mean, I went from the amount of change is sometimes overwhelming, and I'm sure it is for you as well. And I was going up the stairs, I'm sure being on prednisone doesn't help this week with my emotions. And I was going up the stairs, and I was just in one of those moods, just, you know, I cannot, this, you know, just one of those grumpy moods. And don't act like I'm the only one, because I know you all go through it. I know, I will call you out, and you know I will.
Great time.
I'm real. So, but you know, and I was just thinking, gosh, I can't do this. This is so, I've never been an anxious person, but because there are so many decisions right now going on, you get overwhelmed with all the decisions, and you can become anxious. So I started being negative in my thinking and negative in my mind and what I was saying to myself. And then I said, no, I am victorious. I am an overcomer. Right. And that's why his word says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I woke up that morning, and there is always, always something to be thankful for. That is in my hallway. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe that is how we fight our battles. As we go to his word, sometimes what we're seeing, oh my word, we don't look victorious. Sometimes what we see, everything is falling apart. We are surrounded, and I've brought you before, we've done this song before, and I've brought you to Moses where, I mean, look, God, you've brought me out of here. I know this is your will. I know this is what you want for us. I know this is what you want for Sandwich. I know this is what you want for my family. But you've brought us here, and I feel surrounded. I feel like nothing is going in how I think it should go, and my plans are not happening. And that's when he spoke to me. No, you are victorious. You are an overcomer. I'm still holding your world, and that's how we fight our battles, is we hide his word in our heart. We repeat his words of what he has promised us, and we hang true to those promises.
Right, amen.
Amen,
amen. Thank you, Jesus.
This is how I find my path.
You thought I was a dying. we can stand at this time for a God that has everything. That's the least I could do is just offer a praise of thanksgiving back to him. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, I want to give an offering of praise back to you, Lord, because you've given me so much, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for this time to be able to give, Lord. I pray, Lord, you would bless every faithful and cheerful giver this morning and the ones given by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are the God of never God's intention that I stay where I am. It's never God's intention that I settle at this particular place. It's always God's intention that I'm pressing. Press toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. I know there's going to be ceilings in life. I know there's going to be walls. I know there's going to be obstacles. But He's the God of the breakthrough.
Right, amen.
I'm just going to keep pushing. I'm just going to keep coming. I'm just going to keep lifting my hands. I'm just going to keep lifting my voice. The devil may think I'm going to stay here the rest of my life, but I serve a God of the breakthrough. In one of these days, in one service, at some particular time, I'm going to break through. So I'm just going to keep coming, and I'm just going to keep lifting my hands. I'm not going to sit back and just settle. I'm going to break through. The most dangerous place you can be, listen to me, the most dangerous place you can be is settled in the service of God. Because when I settle, the backsliding has begun. You know me, I just say it like it is. I begin to sit back and I begin to not participate like I used to, and I begin to just go through the motions, and I just settle in. Careful. You're in a very dangerous place. He's the God of the breakthrough, and it's His intention that you come and you lift your hand. You say, I may not feel like it. I may be struggling. I may be going through some things. But guess what? I serve the God of the breakthrough, and He's going to break through. He's going to give me the power. It's already there. It's available. You come and you interact with the greatest power in all the world. He's the God of the breakthrough. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I want to say from the bottom of my heart, my wife tells me there are two things that I get rather emotional about: God and my family. So I'm just going to apologize beforehand if I get a little emotional this morning. Bear with me. I am a man. I have emotions. But I hope with the help of God I'm able to deliver unto you some final words. It has been a privilege. It has been a privilege. And I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for being you and for giving us this opportunity to be here these 7 years. It has truly been an experience we will never forget, and know that your fingerprints will forever be on our lives, and I hope ours upon yours. But with the help of the Lord, I want to draw your attention, if you'd stand. Luke chapter 24. Begin reading in verse number 44. While you're turning there, I want to say thank you, Brother Kellum. You had such a difficult subject to teach upon this morning, and I applaud you for the job that you did this morning. And I want to say thank you to the church board members. Thank you to the ministry of this church, the men that have really stepped up here these last few months and have really put forth the effort. I want to tell you thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. I was thinking, sorry, this is not in my notes, but I was thinking as you were teaching, Brother Callum, and you talked about all different religions, and you talked about, you named a bunch of denominations. You even named some different cultures, if you will. And I thought to myself, there is one thing that all of those have in common, is that they are made up of human beings. And so it is no mystery to me why the religion, if you will, of humanism is gaining such momentum. Because it is a common denominator, no matter what religion you aspire to, no matter what dogma or doctrine you follow, the reality is at the base of all of us, there is a recognition that we are human beings. And so it is no wonder that that is catching fire, if you will, throughout many denominations. It is just simply the service of self. To serve my own humanity. I'm not saying that's going to be or that is the one world religion, but it kind of seems like that is setting the stage. Now, I'm not going to take you to Revelation, so don't worry. You already know where I'm going. Luke chapter 24, begin reading in verse number 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." To draw your attention back to verse number 44, it's from there that I would like to take title. "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you." And on this final address to this wonderful body of believers, title of my message this morning is simply this: while I was yet with you. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, I love you. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to once again stand before these precious people in this sacred desk and deliver your awesome word. I pray, God, that we would all leave here enriched in spirit, God, thankful for the opportunities that have been afforded us and the experiences that we have shared together, Lord, and that we would smile, and though the emotions be bittersweet, Lord, that we would ultimately and with great gratitude in our heart thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace towards us. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you for who you are and what you do. In your name, it is above every name, in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. While I was yet with you. Approximately 2.5 times per week, 48 weeks per year, for almost 7 years, I have stood before you. This means over 800 times I have delivered a message, a sermon, a teaching, etc. to this church. The average amount of words spoken in a 30-minute discourse being 3,750 words, this means that I have, by a conservative figure, spoken some 3 million words in this similar setting. With the average book being approximately 90,000 words, this means that I have delivered over 30 books in my tenure here as pastor. For all you non-readers out there, this means you have listened to approximately 4.5 books per year. For the last almost 7 years. Others of you have slept through at least a couple of those books. But these are the words that I spake to you while I was yet with you. First and foremost, let me make this abundantly clear. I am not equating my tenure and time here at FAC of Sandwich with that of Jesus and his disciples, but rather only use this example in Scripture to make the parallels concerning Jesus' final address to his disciples and my final address to this flock that I've had the opportunity to pastor for the last 7 years. These words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you. These words that I spoke, these messages, these sermons, these teachings, these times, maybe of even a one-on-one dialogue and counseling, the sessions, all those things that I did and I spoke, they were to accomplish some of the same things that Jesus sought to accomplish in regards to his disciples. You see, my hope and prayer is that in this, my final address to this congregation, that I am able to express the parallels that I see here in Scripture with the happening here this morning. Jesus' final words and his final address to those that he had walked with and talked with for some 3.5 years. My final words to you fine folks that I have had the opportunity to walk with and talk with for the last 7. I only want to draw some parallels. I only want you to see the significance in the story and the significance in this situation. For the words that I spoke unto you are like the words that he spoke unto them that were for some of the same reasons. In effect, it was, as Jesus says, and as the Bible records in the text where we read, it was to open their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, the teachings and the sermons and the messages and the PowerPoint presentations and the object lessons and all those things that I did. Please understand, they were never intended to build me up. They were never intended to give me a sense of security in who I was or who I am, but they were always intended to somehow, some way open understanding, to somehow, some way bring revelation. I want to say thank you. Thank you for all the compliments. Thank you for the times after service that you would come up and say, "Wow, Pastor, great message." Times that you would pull me aside and say, "Hey, you don't know this, but me and my spouse were talking about this throughout the week, and we even discussed the scripture that you preached on this morning, and thank you, and Pastor, I've never heard it taught like that." And please understand, these things I understand, they're not compliments for me, they're compliments of my being used of God, and I get that, and I understand that, and I don't in any way, shape, or form demean that. I don't take those compliments for my own uplifting and my own building up, no. But I do say thank you. Because little did you know, in some of those times, in some of those moments, I was dealing with insecurities. I was dealing with my own faults and my failures. I was dealing with the reality of my fallibility, Brother Kellum. And that I didn't always do things as I should. And I wasn't, and I will not, and I neither will Brother Johnson be the perfect pastor. I can honestly say it was done to open understanding. It was done, and when those compliments came forth, I told Sister Phillips this morning a few weeks ago, she gave me some just wonderful words that I told her those things meant. You never know how much those words meant to me. And people would say, I've heard it taught many years, but I've never heard it taught in that way, and I was able to receive it differently. I want to say thank you. It's a compliment of God's work in my life, of God's ability to use me even though I am fallible and even though I make mistakes and even though I don't always do it right. And while your words of encouragements and compliments have enriched my soul, and while I know these are all ultimately compliments to the God I serve and who gave me these talents that I hope to never neglect, the greatest compliment that you can give is to allow those words to work in you. The greatest compliment that you can give, just as the greatest thing the disciples could have done, is after Jesus said his final words were then to go and do what he said, do. To live those words out in your life. Because the words that I spoke while I was yet with you, yes, they were to open your understanding. But having one's understanding open does little good if that someone does not act in accordance with that understanding. If you don't take those words that were said, if you don't take some of those 30 books, if you will, that were given from across this pulpit or a lectern, and you don't apply them to your lives, understand, doing so is the greatest compliment you could ever give. living out those words in your daily living. If the disciples would have looked at Jesus and said, great words, Jesus, but we are going to go ahead and do our own thing. The understanding would have done them little good. Please understand this. In this moment of absolute transparency and candidness, as a teacher, preacher, counselor, pastor, etc., it is frustrating to bring forth revelation and understanding only to have people clap amen and applaud, but then leave it in the pew. It's to open your understanding. Let the word open your understanding. Let those words that are spoken open your heart and your mind. But understand this. Acting upon the understanding comes from the heart. I've never seen this before. I've read this story many times. I've preached from this passage multiple times in my tenure here at this church. But Jesus made a statement. He said that, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name, beginning at Jerusalem. And I always thought of Jerusalem, as I'm sure many of you have, as being just a geographical location. Because we understand in Acts, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And we understand that those are geographical locations. And yes, I get the significance therein. But then something else began to stir in me. And I began to realize something else that Jesus was saying when He was saying, beginning at Jerusalem. If you read some historians, you will find that during the days of Jesus, that many world historians would assert that Jerusalem was the center of the world. The trade and what took place in the Middle East at that time centered itself in Jerusalem. And some historians would use this phrase in reference to Jerusalem, the city of David. They would call it the heart of the world. If you don't want to assert that it was the heart of the world, you can definitely, without much conjecture, assert that it was most certainly the heart of the Jewish people. City of David, Jerusalem, the place that they held in the highest regard. It was their heart. And understand what Jesus is saying. He's not saying just that it's going to begin in a geographical location. Listen, fellas, you need to understand this repentance and this remission of sins, this word that I have given unto you, these words that I have spoken to you while I was yet with you, were to open your understanding that repentance and remission of sins should begin, be preached, beginning at Jerusalem. And it's not just a geographical location, fellas. It's the understanding that the real fruit, if you will, comes from beginning in the heart. The words that I have spoken unto you, my hope and prayer is that somehow, some way, seeds have been planted in your heart. Because if it's truly going to be something of substance and significance, it's going to have to come from your heart. I have preached and I have taught time and time and time and time again. You can't serve. You can't do this thing with your head. You will ultimately fail. You can't just do these things because you know that they are right. Somewhere along the line, they've got to get deposited into your spirit somewhere along the line. If you're truly going to be a living epistle seen and read of all men, if you're truly going to be able to preach to your family and your co-workers repentance and remission of sins, it's got to begin in your own heart. I can give you all the head knowledge and I can try to open your understanding, and Brother Johnson can get up here time after time and preach and teach, but if you just get it in your head and you don't get it in your heart, you're not going to be the witness that God has called you to be. Beginning at Jerusalem. Here in the heart, in the center of who you are. Please don't clap and applaud and amen and then leave it on the pew. Clap. Yes. Amen. Yes. Applaud. Yes. But then pick it up and take it with you. And you, when you walk out those doors, live it in your everyday life. Not because pastor said to do it, or not because that teaching was just great. It opened your understanding. But because I know that is what has to happen in me in order for me to be able to truly preach to the world in which I live. If it's ever going to reach Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, it's got to begin at Jerusalem. It's got to begin here in the heart. I can't just do things out of expectation. I can't just do things out of roles that are played. I just can't do these things because pastor says I should. I got to get these things in my heart. Because if you're truly going to serve, and you're truly going to preach, and you're truly going to be a witness unto Him in word or deed, it's got to begin at Jerusalem. So when the word comes forth on Sunday, make sure on Monday it's still resonating in your soul. Make sure on Monday you don't put it up on the shelf. Make sure on Monday you don't say, well, I'll just get another good word on Wednesday night, or I'll just get another good word on next Sunday. No, no, no. Please understand. Let it begin at Jerusalem. Let it get inside your heart. The Bible tells us, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's all about Him. It's all about teaching and preaching, being a living epistle. It's all about repentance and remission of sins. I hope that over the 7 years you have heard one common thread and theme through everything is that you have and you know, you have witnessed that I am a man who believes in repentance and remission of sins. That I believe that God can save absolutely anybody. That repentance and remission of sins is for absolutely everybody. Because understand this, the disciples had to go to Jerusalem where they would be endued with power from on high. Tarry ye at the city of Jerusalem. Listen, tarry in your heart. Keep praying, keep seeking, let it get in your heart, because that's when the promises begin to be performed in you. Not when you just grasp it with your head or with your understanding, but when it gets in your heart. Because the heart says, this is what I love to do. This is not just expected of me. This is not just required of me. I am not obligated. This is what I love to do. And Lord, if I'm just serving out of obedience, and I understand obedience is better than sacrifice, and I get all those things, but please understand, as I stated earlier, it's never God's intention for any of us to settle. It's for us to keep pressing forward. And Lord, if I don't have a love for it yet, and pastor's been preaching and he's been teaching and I haven't developed a love for it yet, maybe my understanding's been open, but I haven't opened my heart to it yet. Lord, help me! Help me to learn to do it because I love to do it. Because I'm a living epistle seen and read of all men. I love for people to experience the forgiveness of God and the remission of sins as I have experienced the forgiveness of God and the remission of sins. And if the understanding is ever going to be truly be fruitful, it has to begin at Jerusalem. The Bible says He led them out as far as Bethany. Oh yes, words can be spoken and understanding can be opened, and yes, it can begin in the heart, but really the journey for each and every one of us, we can only be led so far. There comes a point in time where we have to learn how to walk on our own. There comes a point in time where others depart there comes a point in time that while they were yet with you, they're no longer with you. Comes a point in time where maybe those matriarch and patriarchs of faith, and maybe that grandmother, that grandfather who was so stalwart and steadfast, where they go on to glory, and now I got to make a choice. Am I doing it? Am I living it? Because of the expectation, or has my understanding been opened? And it's beginning at Jerusalem, and now I've been led thus far, and now it's on me. Now it's on me to make the next step. You see, we can only be led so far. At some point, you have to decide to go on when others depart. Please, please, please understand my heart in this. Do not let the departation of my family in any way incentivize you to go anywhere else or do anything else. I'm going to say that again. Do not let the departure of my family incentivize or in any way insinuate that God is releasing you or that God is opening a door or giving you opportunity to go somewhere else. Listen, I can only lead you so far, and the Wells family has only done so much, and I get that. But you need to understand, even Jesus led them just so far. He went as far as Bethany, and then he said, okay, boys, you're on your own. Now it's your choice whether you're going to go to Jerusalem. Now it's your choice whether you're going to heed the words that I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, FAC of Sandwich. Now it's your choice. This is figuratively a Bethany, and I've led you this far, and I've spoken words unto you, and I've tried to open your understanding, and I hope it begins at Jerusalem for you. But this is Bethany, and my family and I are about to go. But don't want for one moment let that make you think God has released you. I know that's straight, but I wouldn't be me if I didn't preach it straight on my last message. The Wells family and our influence have led you this far. But now, you must go on. I have every confidence in the competency and the ability of Brother and Sister Johnson. I have every confidence that they will take this church into higher levels. But you need to understand this. Make no mistake about this. I am a champion, if you will. I am one who will and has from the very beginning said, I hope and I pray that they take this church to the next level. It will not in any way, shape, or form be condescending to me. It will not in any way, shape, or form make me feel bad about my tenure. I have said this. I said, I don't know. Maybe God knew. Maybe God knew that there was a bridge that needed to be made by the Wells family between the Davises and the Johnsons. I don't know. He does. But you can't look at this situation and help but know. Listen, I'm not a big believer in coincidence. You cannot help but look at this situation. You had a man who for 38 years pastored this assembly. My family and I came along in September of 2012. Unanimously were elected. We served for almost 7 years. I fully believe and understand God is calling us on to what I do not know. But I do know this is His will. And then after 7 years of a people who not only loved the Davises for 38 years, but loved the Wells for 7 years. Now you sit down and you unanimously elect another pastor. Understand this, even in the sense of Brother Johnson, he will only be able to lead you so far. You have to determine that I'll go on to the promises of God. I'll go on to those things that God has for me. And while the Wells family was with you, we have attempted to open your understanding, to begin some things in your heart, and to lead you to this point. But this is Bethany. The point where we depart and say, FAC of Sandwich, go on to the promises that God has for you. Go on to bigger and better things. Go on to greater things. Press forward. As I stated last week, you have an awesome opportunity right here and right now to get involved like never before. To get behind them. To get your heart in this thing. To get on board and help the Johnsons make FFC of Sandwich everything it can be. And finally, the Bible says he lifted up his hands and blessed them. I'm closing, but I don't want any musicians to come. I want you to stand, and I want my family to come join me on the platform. As I've already stated, you have enriched our lives. You have helped mold us and make us, develop us. You have, and please understand, this is not in any way, shape, or form a slight, but you have revealed some faults and failures and insecurities. Things that we know that God is going to help us. It's not a bad thing. That's not a negative thing. That's a good thing. Experiences that we have had, the moments that we have shared, the laughs, the love, the tears, the prayers, the victories, the defeats, the failures, the successes, all of it. Take any of it back. The final thing that Jesus did before he was taken up from them, the Bible says he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. I don't often do this, but I would ask that everybody in this congregation would come down front and stand around this altar. Thank you. As I scan over the faces that we will undoubtedly miss, and that we have connected with over these 7 years, know that we love you, and you will be in our hearts, our prayers, our thoughts. I told my wife last night, I said, what I want to do at the end is I want my family to come up, and I want my family to say a prayer of blessing over this congregation. That God's will would happen. The Johnsons would take this church to a greater level. Whatever God has in store for us, he'll work it out. We're confident in that. But right now, we want to pray for this church. We want to pray a prayer of blessing over you precious people. Dear Jesus, I'm so thankful for the opportunity my family has had. I'm thankful for all the gifts and kind words and the way that they have so wonderfully treated myself and my family. At times they've opened their homes and their pocketbooks and just words of encouragement and confirmation in the hearts of my family. I'm so thankful, Lord. Now I pray, my family prays over them, a prayer of blessing. Take them on, God. Or let them, God, grow further, God. Have we brought them to this Bethany now, Lord? We place them in your hands. We have every confidence, Lord, in you working through the lives of Brother and Sister Johnson and what is in store for this family, God. And we're so grateful for the experiences and the moments that we have shared with each and every one of them, God. They will not soon be forgotten, for they have left indelible prints upon our lives, God. And we hope the same in relation to them. Take them on to save. Feed this flock with word, God, from your man, from the man that you placed before them as a shepherd to lead them on. that this flock would go forth and do great things in you. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. And we ask all these things in your precious name. And everybody said amen. Sister Grimm's going to come. She's got a few instructions about this afternoon. Please do this. Another reason why I wanted you to come down front is because after Sister Grimm has said what she needs to say, I want you all to turn around and I want to take a picture of you guys. So you're going to have to squeeze in. You're going to have to act like you love each other. Because I want us to be able to take a family picture of the FAC family. Where you at? There you are.